Tempest in a Teapot by John Martin. Tattersville was a quiet when Rod Richards went away in the spring to see his relatives in the city. A tiny country town in the remote northern hills of Adirondack. It wasn't even marked on a map. 300 souls comprised it. Most of these were scattered down the valley in their houses, whole quarters of a mile from one another, with a small hamlet and its five or six stories set just where Thunder Mountain dropped off gentle slope of the neighbouring valley. It left it quiet. When it came back, it was in chaos. Rod's old foot road rattled and stopped in front of the post office. We got out and he noticed a change immediately. Lounges in front of the general store, who had known him for years, gave him one look and turned their heads away. There were one or two scattered, half-hearted nods, but that was all. Puzzled, for he had lived 20 years in the valley and was known and well and liked by all, he went into the post office. "Hello, Mr. Tompkins," he said to the postmaster. Eli Tompkins looked up, startled, dismayed. Richard saw the strange look appear in his eyes. And Easy Tompkins tried to look away. "I don't know," Richard said loudly. "Even you, Mr. Tompkins. What's wrong? Don't folks like me in this town anymore?" Eli Tompkins looked around the bare, deserted post cautiously. Then he beckoned Richard. "Come near. Get out, Mr. Richards," he said confidently. Confidentially, his rheumy eyes narrowed in warning. "Get out before it's too late." "I've broken any laws," Richard said. "Just left to visit my relatives," he smiled ruefully. Eli Tompkins' voice sank to a whisper. Kenny's fingers beckoned. Richards inclined his ear. "This," the old man, Eli said, "this Erepith schoon up in the mountain. You know what folks say about him? Dabbling in old secrets, messing around with the old occult. Folks ain't paid much attention to it over the years, but this summer," Eli's eyes became frightened. "Funny things have been happening. Cows dying, crops blighted, and storms." "Storms?" Eli's mouth set. "All kinds of storms, but mostly hail. Ruined the crops, and you know how these mountains protect the valley?" "Mr. Richards, chances of storm hitting here, 1 in 10,000. His eyes swerved nervously from side to side, nodded vigorously. "It's been up to something evil." "What's that got to do with me?" Eli's mouth snapped shut. Then it waved like a reptile's. You both got books, ain't you? Folks in this town don't trust other folks who read too much. You always liked you personal, Miss Richards, but my books are science, not magic or other cult rubbish," Richard protested. "There's a difference. Folks have, you reckon you and I are here for the same kind of people now. Most of the world's trouble comes out of books, don't it? That's what my grandfather told me. That's what I believe. That's what most folks around here believe." Eli drew back, raised a hand. "You take my advice, Miss Richard. Sell out. Go away." He glanced up the hill towards the old mansion top, stop it, where Ephraim's schoon lived. "Get out today. The villagers are planning to pay Erif a visit any hour now," he crackled. "No use in getting caught in the rush." A quick gesture, he drew a finger across his throat. Horrified, Richards hurried out of his car. To his car, started it, headed for the Thunder Mountain Road. Ephraim's spoon would have to be warned. Richard knew him from the bookish, reclusive, strange old man who has once or twice invited him over 20 years for tea and a chat. But he never liked the looks of the forbidding old mansion, nor Schoon's half-mad, crackling laughter. To Richard's thought, Schoon was a human being, and despite the superstitious nonsense of the villagers, had broken the laws. He advised Schoon to clear out for a while. "You take him to the station in his old car." Richard shuddered. He remembered having seen a mob violence before, deserted on people whose only sin had been to say the truth 100 years before others had seen it. A As he forced his old car up the rocky path, a rumble of thunder rolled away across the valley. He looked up, startled. Big black clouds were gathering up the north end of the valley. The turn of road brought the ruinous old mansion into view. He stepped on his gas pedal. The old car shot forward, came off the steep incline, and rolled to stop before the broken in porch. An instant later, he was standing in the high, cracked doors, pounding on them. They opened suddenly, letting out a breath of dank air. "Come in," a soft, quiet voice said. "Ah, Mr. Richards," belated, "is it for unexpected pleasure?" Richards stepped inside and suddenly told a frail old man what happened in his village. When he finished, Ephraim Schoon smiled, took him up on the arm and drew him to the big old kitchen, rear of the house. "Yes, yes, I know," he said. "I have ways of knowing." Suddenly he laughed. "It's good of you to warn me." He paused suddenly, listening, bird-like. Blasts of thunder shook the house. A crackling scream burst from him. "The storm is starting well, Mr. Richards." He ran to a teapot, brewing away on the stove, plumes of steam withering wildly from the spout. Quickly he threw more coal under the plate. Richards nervously glanced out the window and grasped. Up the hill, moving slowly, came a line of Tattervilled men, clubs in their hands, one carrying a long, ominous rope. "Coming for me?" Schoon muttered. "They won't get me. I'll drive them off." "Drive them off?" Richards asked. "Alarmed? How can you? We're alone here, 2 against 100. Schoon laughed, managed shrilly. His hands clawed in air. "You're a man of books, my friend. So am I. Your books are those of science, mine of magic, handed down from warlock to wizard. From the dawn of time," his eyes widened. "Who is to say which magic is better, yours or mine?" He took a wild, tottering step forward with a rifle. "You can kill a cow at a distance, Miss Richards. I found that with my books I can do it with an incarnation. Science can send planes, destroy crops with the from the skies. I can wither them with a spell." He flung a mad glance out the kitchen window. The coming circle men telling up the hill. "And now, with the power of magic, I shall call down wrath from heaven. They say I brew storms up here. Then I do, Mr. Richards, I do." Richards fell back, grasping. "Storms?" he demanded. "You're mad, Ephraim Schoon." Schoon straightened his back. The wind swelled through the kitchen, tossing his disordered hair. He looked like a prophet, a babe. Bat pronounced some awful curse. He pointed to the teapot. "Here I brew my storms in this tiny teapot. Fill with magic herbs. Fast it but boils, the more terrible the storm." He went rigid, a figure of doom, pointing at the armed men. "Do you think their puny bodies can withstand half stones, hailstones the size of cannonballs?" But the house ourselves, Richard stammered, "we'd be destroyed." "Not so," Schoon cried. "At the storm centre, we shall be safe. Look." Richard's eyes followed the man's gesture. Abruptly, in a peal of terrible thunder flashed across the sky, then the screams of men, each breaking to a run, as they reached the top of the slope, each waving a club, vanished from the sight of the storm of the hail. There were a few more screams of horrible agony, then silence. "I killed them all," Schoon almost shrieked. "But no one shall kill you, me. I'm invulnerable. I shall rule the world." Stiffening, Richard sprung forward to the frantic fear. "Our angel of sanity," cried. He seized a throttling teapot and flung it to the floor, where it fell bursting. Schoon eyes bulged into terror. He waved his arms. "You've doomed us both," he screamed. "Fool, you signed your own death warrant. A storm has broken loose of my control." Richard paled. It was then he heard of drumming on the roof, heard the top floor of the house pounding to pulp, saw the ceiling of the kitchen bulge, shattered to pieces under the bombardment of ice. Around the old house, the storm closed into its iron grip of death, leaving two unrecognised corpses, its awful wake.